Friday, 18th of January, Yud Aleph Shvat, Shavuot Parshas B'Shalach, Rabbi Romy Adler, Parshas B'Shalach, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Bo'et.
Reshut HaMesubim Kan, Eina Mesubim Kan. We read tomorrow's Parsha, the story of Kriyas Yam Suf, which is the final episode in Yetzias Mitzrayim, the final scene in the Geula of Klal Yisrael, and it culminates with Klal Yisrael singing the Shira, the last posuk being Hashem Yimloch La'olam Vayim.
It's an odd posuk. Another posuk in the Shira.
Yeah.
You said last
posuk
is Hashem
Yimloch. I think he both was thorough. Sorry? Yeah, no, I understand. But the actual. My time is very limited, so it's okay. Klal Yisrael were taught in Yetzias Mitzrayim the Yesodos of Emunah, as the Mefarshim explain each one in their own phrase, their own terminology, Yetzias Hashem, Yecholes Hashem, Hashkachas Hashem. And then when it came to Kriyas Yam Suf, they saw something else that they'd never seen before, which is Malchus. And I'd like to discuss with you these two inyonim. The first inyon being represented by the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and perhaps a small idea on the inyon of Malchus. They're very profound inyonim, we can only scratch the surface, but let's at least see whether we can take something away with us. The Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, we must say hundreds of times every day in our tfilas, our bakashas, our brachas, and I know that we only associate Malchus with Rosh Hashanah, but in fact, if you look at your davening, the first Baruch Sha'amah, we end Baruch Sha'amah, B'shiri David Avdecha V'nam Lichacha Malkeinu. And if you count, I think you'll find there are more than 310 references to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech through our regular Tfilas Shachar. So let's see if we can take some ideas with us on this particular subject. At the beginning of the episode of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have a strange discussion between, appear to be strange, between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro and he says to him, Hashem Elokeinu Ivrim, V'acha bo Moshe v'Aaron v'yomer al Paro, Koma Hashem Elokeinu Yisrael shalachet ami v'yachog libar mitbo. So Moshe Rabbeinu, introduction to Paro after he's been groomed by the Ribbono Shel Olam, setting my people out. So what does Paro say? I am a Paro, mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Kol. I don't know, we all know the famous Medrash, right? He got out his who's who of gods, or his Forbes top 500 gods. He says, I don't know this man, this is God, never heard of it. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He repeats himself. Vayomru Elokei ha'Ivrim Nikra Aleinu, the God of the Hebrews. What's going on over here? Paro just told you, you don't know what you're talking about, so you repeat it again. What's going on over here? It's more than that. What do you mean, because he doesn't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And what happens when Yosef interprets his dream? What does he say to his avodim? So he recognizes the Ribbono Shel Olam. What is he saying now? I don't know what you're talking about. And then we've got when Yosef masquerades as the unkind and cruel viceroy of Egypt. And what does he say to the brothers? He takes them out of prison and he says, Yosef, I feel that. So what, he's masquerading as a viceroy of Egypt, and he's saying Baruch Hashem every 5 minutes. So what, they don't realize he's Jewish. What's going on with him? So the Ramban addresses this point on that discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro. He says like this. He says, "V'nei Paro hoya chacham gadol." Paro was a chacham gadol. The Ribbono Shel Olam was not interested in tipshim. He was dealing with a chacham gadol. V'yodeh Elokim u'modeh. He knew Elokim. Kasehu omer rishav. He quotes the pasuk. Paro, or his predecessor, recognized Elokim. What he didn't know was Hashem HaMiyuchad. Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro and he said, Hashem Elokei HaIvrim. He said, it should be Hashem who should take you up out of Mitzrayim. And on that, Paro said, Mi Hashem, Yud Kei Vod Kei, who is this Hashem Asher Eshma B'Kodesh? So Moshe Rabbeinu realized the Machta Tov, he made a mistake. He shouldn't have mentioned Hashem Havaya. So he repeated his request, Elokei Ivrim. He left out Yud Kei Vod Kei, because that he knew Paro recognized. So what did Paro do to that? He doesn't know answer. He knew there was an Elokei. So as all diplomats do when they get asked a question in a news conference, they just don't answer, they sidestep it. Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you messing around Klal Yisrael, they can't work, etc., etc. So what is this Shema Miyuchad? What is this Yudkei Vovkei that Ramban says Pari didn't know, and that this was the lesson that Klal Yisrael were being taught during the Tzias Mitzrayim? We find earlier in Parsha Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu is discussing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, Kaviyachol trying to persuade Moshe Rabbeinu to send Klal Yisrael, take Klal Yisrael out. So one of the things Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayomer Moshe l'Elokim, Hinei Anochi Bo b'nei Yisrael, v'amarti lahem, Elokei avoseichem shlachani aleichem. I'm going to come to b'nei Yisrael and say that the God of your forefathers sent me, I'm the messenger. Va'omru li, they will say to me, Mashama, what's his name? What am I name? What am I going to tell them? He says, Moshe, they're going to ask me, what's his name? The God of your forefathers, what do you mean, what's his name? What do you think of what's his name? They didn't have a tradition from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Ben Yishalayim, they knew Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avraham, appeared to Yitzchak, appeared to Yaakov, but they didn't know what his name. What do you mean asking his name? Says Rav Hirsch, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that he had two tasks. He was being asked to do two tasks. Number one, to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. But number two, as it says in the Apostle before, prepare and groom Klal Yisrael to become the Am Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu, taking them out of Mitzrayim, that's no problem. That's the easy part of it. That's what I do with Paris. I'm not worried about that. That's easy. That's Ribono Shelolem's Chesed. He'll sort that out. I'm not worried. But how am I going to groom Klal Yisrael to become the Am Hashem? He says the name, a name represents, when you think of a name, it conjures up in our mind an object. You think of a table. So you've got a worktop with four legs. Think of a car, of a tin can with four wheels. A name conjures up the object. Hirsch says that shame and shoma are the same idea, because shoma is over there, it's in its place. Similarly, a name puts it in its place. He says, we can't describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we've got no name. He's multifaceted is an understatement. Moshe Rabbeinu's question was like this: with what aspect of the Ribono Shel Olam do you want Klal Yisrael to interact when they're going to become the Am Hashem? How do you want them to see you, and how do you want them to behave to you? That's the question I'm asking. That's what they want to know. We know there's a God there. We've been told that by our forefathers. And we know that we're, so to say, the chosen people in that sense, though not completely yet. We have yet to see it. But how do you want Klal Yisrael to relate to you? So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer? Vayomer Elokim el Moshe, Eya Asher Eya, I will be what I want to be. Vayomer, Kosom el Bnei Yisrael, Eya Shlochani Aleichem. It's interesting, those three words, Ekya Asher Ekya, if one's allowed or not to pronounce it, I'm not sure. In Hilchos Sefer Torah, when the Sefer is writing those three words are Kodesh. Well, the two I will be's are Kodesh. The Asher, that's a Machlokes, the Nezib Yehuda, the Pulacharifta, the Kesar Sefer brings, whether the Asher is Nimchat. So the Sefer is making a mistake. He's got to treat those three words or two words as if he's writing the Shem Havayah. What does it mean? Sefer of Hirsch, he translates it as follows. Not I will be that I will be, but I will be what I want to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu that the future of the world is dependent on what I want it to be, not what mankind wants it to be. The non-Jewish world, they saw Elohim. They saw HaKadosh, there was a God who created the world. He set in motion all these wonderful laws of science, what they knew and what they didn't know. And then, he retired. He took a good pension and he left the world to be run by all the plethora of other gods, each one with his own view of how he left the world to be run. That is what Pari thought. He knew there was Elohim. He knew there was some higher power who had an idea what was going on, but he wasn't in control of what was going on. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu when he went, later on during the Makkas, Ruuki Ra Neged Tanechem, right? I can see with my astrologers, they tell me that there's this red star which is rising. That's Teva, that's Metzius, that's there, you can't do anything about it. You take them out, there's going to be bloodshed. That's what he warned him, right? And we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know, that would have been, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu engineered and changed it otherwise. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how I want Klal Yisrael to interact with me. Up to now, the world has known Elohim as the God of cause and effect. From now on, it's going to be creative interference. And if you like, it was a call to Klal Yisrael. This was a call to Klal Yisrael to become, so to say, co-workers in that which the Ribono Shel Olam plan, the plan that he has for the world. The Ribono Shel Olam wants things to happen, It's in this world, we have to do something about it. This was the call to Kalan Yisrael to become those co-workers with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what was meant by this discussion, says of Hershel between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you want Kalan Yisrael to relate to you? Says Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to know, I will be what I want to be, I have a plan for the world, and I want Kalan Yisrael to click into that. I want them to come be my avodim, to, so to say, bring, help me, so Kaviyachal, to bring that world and the plan to its fruition. Now, if you look at the Rashbam on that pasuk, he says, I'm going to tell you something, but it's only for the tsnuim, it's only to be revealed to a select few, so I'm going to write it in the code. But he tells you how to crack the code, so it's, I don't quite know exactly. He says he's writing it in Atbash notation, where you replace an aleph with a tof and the base with a shin, etc. And other Rishonim don't quite know why he has to actually write it like this, and they'll spell you out exactly what he says. And he says as follows. The Ribbono Shel Olam calls himself Eya. I will be. Right? I will. But that's in the first person, because he's talking. We refer to the Ribbono Shel Olam as Yiga. He will be. We can't say Eya, because we're not, some people may think they are, but they're not, the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we have to refer to the Ribbono Shel Olam as a third person, as he will be. Ah, you'll say, but Yud Kei Vov Kei is a Vov in the middle. It's not Ye yet. It's not Yud Hei and then another Yud and a Hei. It's with a Vov in the middle. Says the Rashbam, well, that's not a problem, because the Vov and the Yud are interchangeable. You find, for example, Heve Gvir Le'Achecho, right? Yitzchok says to Yaakov, Heve Gvir Le'Achecho, which is really Heye Gvir Le'Achecho. But the Yud and the Vov are interchangeable. Why was Chavo called Chavo? He hoisa aim ko chai. So should be chai or not chavo? So tell it to him. There's a yud and there's a vav and they're interchangeable. So the yud ke vav ke in heaven means yiye. Kodesh Baruch Hu will be. In other words, what he wants to be, that's what will be. That's what it means, yud ke vav ke. And there's a vav instead of a yud because it comes to the same thing. So the question is then, why do we change the yud for a vav? Right? Normally it's not changed. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam refers to himself as I will be, so we should refer to the Ribbono Shel Olam as he will be. Why is the Yud exchanged for a Vav? So Chizkuni says that there's no real reason, it's just out of deference. To show respect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't just give him a mundane name, Yiyah, just a normal verb in the third person, masculine, singular, it's not covered. So as a deference in the sign of cover to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we change the Yud for a Vav to show this is a special name, even though the meaning is Kodesh Baruch Hu will be his plans, whatever they are. The Michtam Elior of Dessler goes a stage further, and he says that if we were to call the Ribbono Shel Olam Yiyah, it would be as if Chas V'Shalom we are reducing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha, because Yiyah is the future. So number one implies HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only there in the future, number one. Number two, it implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bound by time, because it is past, present, and future. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not bound by time. There is no such thing as future when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything is present. There is a time, there is a dimension, and some say that what the Menucha that came on Shabbos was the idea that time now came into the world, the 6 days, whether how long they were, whether they were, what they wore, what they were, but Shabbos came, there was now time, there was now Menucha, the fourth dimension. The Bereshit doesn't have time, there's no such thing as time. So you can't say yeah, he will be, because that implies his Ribbono Shel Olam is bound by time. So there's a Vav in there, the Hoiver, which is the present. So we're saying that we have to look at the future, right? We're here today, but what's of interest to us is what's going to happen, what do I have to do now going forward? What's going to happen going forward? So to us, of interest to us, is what's the future? Yeah, ha'ovah kva'ayin, as the Ibn Ezra says, the past is already gone, right? Ha'ovah kerevayin, and ha'ofid adayin, so we've got to worry about the future. So yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's his plan for the world, what am I supposed to do? What does Ribbono Shel Olam want from me? So to say, to be that Eved Hashem, to help him fulfill Kaviyachol, to fulfill that plan that the Ribbono Shel Olam has for the world. But to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is not bound by time, we have the Vav in there, which is the Hoiver, which is the present. Rav Hirsch in Bereshit goes a stage further. And he says as follows. He says, we're not allowed to be Hoges Hashem by Shem, we're not allowed to read the vowels as they are under the Yud Kei Vav. But I'm going to ask you, Abosai, to imagine that you are reading them, because we need to translate the word that we would get out of that. Hoiva or hoive is present. So if you put a yud with a shavah at the front, you get a hifil. You get causes present, right? Hoiva is present. With a yud at the front, becomes a hifil. He causes present to happen. He causes new existence to happen. He causes those existences because those are required as part of his plan for the world and for mankind. We all know that the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is the middah of Rachamim. And Elokim is the middah of Din. Says Rav Hirsch, before mankind came along, there was no room for mistakes. There was no room for mistakes. There's teva, there's clockwork, there's no bechira, nothing can go wrong. So once mankind comes along, you've got bechira, you've got mistakes. Once you've got mistakes, so the signalman puts the wrong signal up, he points, if the points are wrong, the train's going on the wrong track. It's not going to Leeds, it's going to Edinburgh, so what are you going to do? So you're in trouble. So therefore you now require a midas harachamim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates new existences and has to recreate Kaviyocho that which wasn't required, so that at the next signal there wasn't supposed to be points there pointing back to Leeds, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyocho has to change the current existences so that mankind and the world will get back on track. And the first thing point out, I think it's by the Tosfos, that the gematria of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, if you take in Atbash notation, it becomes to Matzpat. And that the gematria is the same as Berachamim. And in fact, we know Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the wanted to create the world, whatever wanted means. I mean, his final kavanah was what really happened, but Midas Adin. And he saw the world wouldn't be Meskayim with Midas Adin, so he was Mishtatef with it, Midas Berachamim. As the pasuk says, Eile told us Hashemayim Va'aretz Hiborim B'Yom Asos Hashem Elokim Eretz Hashemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishtatef Midas Berachamim and Midas Adin. And where do we first find mention of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei Midas HaRachamim? Where Odom, introduction to the parasha where the Torah is going to discuss in more detail the creation of Odom, that's where the Midas HaRachamim comes in. Before that, it's Vayachar Elokim, Vayar Elokim, Vayavdel Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, etc. All Elokim, Elokim, Elokim. But now we're discussing the parasha in more detail of Odom. Elokim is not sufficient. Man's going to make mistakes. And it didn't take too long for other versions to make a mistake. So the Midas Hashem was required, the Midas HaRachamim was required. And the Ben Yoyodha points out in Tanis, he says that the gematria of Elokim is the same gematria as Hateva. Because Elokim is the Midas Hadin, there's no room for maneuver, right? You cannot fiddle, I don't know about genetically modify the laws of nature, but you cannot fiddle with the rules, that's it, everything works like clockwork. You make a mistake, one strike, you're out. There's no second chance, that's only in school, finished. Says that for Gematria, he says, he quotes, I forget who from, he says, Hashem miflos be'ineinu. So he says as follows, we are not on the Madrega of Michutz v'derech HaTeva, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creative interference. A great tzaddik, Adam God lives on that Madrega. We're not on that Madrega. We see amazing things, wondrous things that go Michutz v'derech HaTeva. We say, it's Me'is Hashem Oysozois. It's from the middle of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Michutz v'derech HaTeva, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creative interference. That's where it came from. But Be'ineinu, He niflos Be'ineinu, because we are mere mortals living in the Teva and struggling to see the Ribbono Shelem as best as we can. So He niflos Be'ineinu, it's wondrous to us. But really, Me'is Hashem Oysozois, it's from the Ribbono Shelem who's Yiyeh, whose creative inference, who is Mahava Havoyos, as the basic Kavana is Hayahuva V'Yiyeh, that's where it comes from, and therefore that is on that Madrega, it's not Niflaos at all. And the first adds another Kenech. He says, we always find in Masad Reishis, where Shamayim and Eretz are mentioned, that Shamayim always comes before Oretz. It says, Vaychulo HaShamayim V'Oretz. Eile told us HaShamayim V'Oretz. Then the prophet carries on, B'yom asos Hashem Elokim Eretz v'Shamayim. Why the change? He says, up till now, that it's been just a pure natural world, it's been teva, clockwork. So the earth depends on the heaven. You get your light, you get your rain, you get your warmth. That comes from Shamayim. So Shamayim is the one that's producing that which the Eretz requires. That's by Chulu, HaShamayim, because that's the Noisein, and then the Eretz, the Mekavel. But now they were introducing mankind. Now they were introducing Midas, which is therefore requires Midas Adin. So no longer is the Shamayim that which the Eretz dependent on Shamayim. Faket, Shamayim is dependent on Eretz, because if Klal Yisrael, if mankind behaves as they should, and if Chasim Mitarachachem, and if Chas V'Shalom not, then Chas V'Shalom not. Therefore, says the Pasuk, up to now was Shamayim Ha'aret. But now, Beyon Baro Hasos Hashem Elohim, we're now introducing mankind, so we've got the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Mishtatit the Midas HaRachamim. Now it's Eretz HaShamayim, because now no longer is the Eretz dependent on Shamayim, it's just the opposite of what it looks. It's that the Shamayim is dependent on the Eretz. So we have over here this idea which runs right through the Makkah, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mahava Havoyez, that Paroi, the Mitzrayim, may have recognized Elohim as that midah of having created the world and the all-powerful God, but the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Hoya Hoza V'Yiye Mahava Havoyos, that he's creatively interfering with the world, that Mitzrayim didn't recognize. And that was one of the Yesodos HaEmunah that Klal Yisrael had to be taught at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And when Moshe Rabbeinu bemoans to the Ribbono Shel Olam the fact that since he's come to Paroi, things have got worse, this is the beginning of the next parasha. It says, "Vayidab Hashem Moshe Vayom Elav Ani Hashem." I must. It's the midah of Yud Kei Vav Kei. As I told you, that is the midah that Klal Yisrael will see and Klal Yisrael will learn. Paroi wasn't interested, and if you look through the Makkos, Kani Hashem Bekerav Oretz, it's almost always midah Yud Kei Vav Kei, because that's the Hashkochas Hashem that Klal Yisrael were being taught, and the world for that matter, was being taught. And that's why the Ramban, famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, Kodesh Baruch Hu Yetzias Mitzrayim is stressed so much in all our mitzvahs, you've got a tefillin, you've got to mention it twice a day, on and on, everything's there for Yetzias Mitzrayim. If a person chas v'shalom eats chometz on Pesach, doesn't mean kol Pesach, very severe punishment. Says Ramban, why? Because Yetzias Mitzrayim is Yisodos HaEmunah, that mid of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that mid of Hashkachas Hashem, we learn from Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, not going to put on a fireworks display for every tin pot dictator denied of the Ribbono Shel Olam there. He does it for once and for all, and I want you to keep remembering that, because that will remind you of the Matthias HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and remind you of what's really going on in the world. So that's as far as the Hashem Havayah is concerned. But what is this idea that Klal Yisrael now say Hashem Yimloich La'olam Void? It's the first time in the Torah that Klal Yisrael actually, shall we say, mankind refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech. You will not find HaKadosh Baruch Hu referred to as Melech before this week's Sedra. In fact, we say it in our tefillah every Maariv, Malchus Lecha Ra'u Vanecha, when, V'Ke'ayom Lifnei Moshe, where at the Kriyas Yamsuf, that's where they saw Malchus. And as the Medrash says, I think I mentioned it once before, the Pasuk says, Nochen Kitacho Me'oz Me'olam Ota, says the Medrash, even though Me'olam Ota, even though you Ribbono Shel Olam are from time immemorial, Nochen Kitacho, your kisse of Malchus is only established when? Me'oz, when Klal Yisrael sang the Shira. Kisse represents Malchus. So it's Nochen Kitacho Me'oz, Me'olam Ota. You are Me'olam Ota, Ribbono Shel Olam, but Nochen Kitacho is only Me'oz, because it was when Klal Yisrael saw Kriyas Yamsuf and sang the Shira, that's when they recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech. Why was it Dafka here at Kriyas Yamsuf that they recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech? So I'd like to share with you, elaborate slightly on an idea that I heard from Reb Leib Hyman, who's the Rav of the Gros Shul in Beit Hagan. The Medrash tells us on the Pasuk, Vayisa Amud Ha'onon, Amud Ha'onon was in front, he went behind, says the Medrash, the Midas Adin that was poised to strike against Klal Yisrael Chas V'Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned over to strike against the Mitzrim. And we all know that the Malachim, the Malach of Samoel, came to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he said, why are you saving the Jewish people and drowning the Egyptians? On the Pasuk, without a vav, which is read as chema, which is anger. So there was an anger. By the way, the Meshech Chochma points out, it says twice, Ramayim Lehem Choma. It says in Pasuk Chav Beis, Ramayim Lehem Choma, and then it says in Pasuk Chav Ches, Ramayim Lehem Choma. The first time is with a vav, the second time without a vav. So why is it the second time without a vav, not the first time? She says, because in between, Mitzrayim realized the wrongness of their ways. Because it says, Vayosei, Ofer, Makavosov, etc. Vayomer Mitzrayim, Anusim, Ipnei Yisrael, Ki Hashem Nilcham Lahem, Mitzrayim. Notice, Ki Hashem Nilcham Lahem. They finally, the penny finally, whatever it was, the currency in those days, finally dropped that Hashem Nilcham Lahem. Says the Neshech HaChama, so Mitzrayim have also done tshuva. Bishloma before this. And the Chalamas, Chazal say they did serve Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim. But they've done tshuva, Klal Yisrael have now been ascribed to the Ribono Shel Olam, the Mitzrayim haven't. But now that the Mitzrayim have also said, Ki Hashem Nilcham Lahem, they've also recognized the Ribono Shel Olam. So it's an even keel, they're both the same. So why are you saving the Bnei Yisrael and drowning the Egyptians? There is a very interesting Drosh HaTaran. He talks about the Mishpatei HaTorah, and I read it out to you because it's extremely interesting. Talks about Hilchos Chosha Mishpat and Hilchos Sanhedrin. Just a few lines, if I may. Aval ha-shoftim va-sanhedrin hoya tachlisom lishpot ha-om b'mishpat ha-miti. The purpose of the judges, the purpose of the Beis Din, the purpose of the Sanhedrin, is to judge Klal Yisrael with a true judgment, tzedek ba-atzmo, which in itself is, in essence, correct, she-yimoshech mimenu ha-devek inyan ha-eloki bonu, to bring us closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. The purpose of Hilchos Chosha Mishpat and Hilchos Sanhedrin, pardon me, is to bring us closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. Yishlam imenu lagamri sidur in yoni ha'amoni or lo yishlam. Whether it sorts out society or not, whether we think it's fair, pardon me, correct or not, it is there to bring us closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. Umitnei zeh, and because of this, that our Chosha Mishpat, our Sanhedrin laws, whatever it may be, are to bring us close to the Ribono Shel Olam. Efshe sheyimtze b'ktaf mishpatei v'dinei ha'umot hanal, ma'ashu yoseh korov l'tikon ha'segam v'dinei, mima'ashu yimtze b'ktaf mishpatei ha'torah. You might find among the non-Jewish world that some of their rules sort out society a bit better than our society. Because that's not what Chosha Mishpat's for, that's not what Hilchos Sanhedrin is for. It's to bring us closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. Ve'eyanu chaserim b'zeh dovot. He said, well, we're missing out. Very nice. Bring us close to the Ribono Shel Olam. But in the meantime, there's a riot going on in the city. He says, no, we're not missing anything. Ki chol ma sheyechza me'atikun ha'nizkar. Whatever is missing vis-a-vis society in those halachas, hayo mashlima ha'melech, the melech would make up. The melech was there to sort out society. It may be that al piyuchas Sanhedrin, this man is not chayiv misa. But he's a danger to society, and society should dictate that he should be dispensed with. That's the job of the melech. It may be that al pi chosha mishpat, he doesn't have to pay the money, but society requires that the money is paid. That's the job of the melech. So we see over here that the melech is not bound by the normal rules and the normal laws. The melech is lemalo me'adinim. That's his remit. That's why a melech has to be on a tremendously high madrega. We all know what goes on in the beginning, not that far into the new kings once the kingdom split, right? He's got such power. But that's the idea of a melech. He's not bound by the rules. Klal Yisrael over here, they saw halalo evdei avodah zarah, halalo evdei avodah zarah. In Shomayim, Zven Apsat. Who said? The Beis Din Shomayim, who said that Klal Yisrael are going to get off scot-free? Who said? But no, the Ribono Shel Olam came along, Beged and Melech, and he overturned it, and he said, I'm not interested, that's halacha. Ich bin the Melech, and I can do what I like. I don't have to keep by these rules and regulations, even if they're lemalem miderech hateva. And that, he says, was pshat. It says, "Ra'as the shivcha layom mashal eroy yechezku ben buzi." What yechezku ben buzi saw the mass in Merkava, so the shivcha saw. But he didn't see malchus. She saw malchus. She saw the Ribono Shel Olam overturning what would have been a bad decision. Just briefly, the next time we find malchus mentioned is when Bollock says, "Usruat melech boy." That the Rashi learns pshat at least that the friendship of the malchus of melech is with Klal Yisrael. What does the first part of the pasuk say? Lehibit avim b'yakev le'yom b'yisrael. Says Rashi. Even when Klal Yisrael do aveiros, he eventually turns a blind eye, doesn't look. I'm not saying we can use that, but Klal Yisrael, what's that? If you do an aveiro, you get punished. Okay, says, no, usruas melech, because Klal Yisrael, and Binah recognized that Klal Yisrael have a usruas melech, they've got a friendship with the malchus of the Ribono Shel Olam. And if it's malchus, it's a different story, you're not governed by the Lord. So, Emet Hashem, we should take perhaps a few thoughts with us when we talk about malchus in our tefillahs. When we say that Yudke Vovke Hoya over year, that in essence the word is Yir Yeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates in His Midas HaRachamim, and may we be Zoichah B'Mehera to fulfillment of the Pasuk Va'olam Hashim Ba'atzi Mishpeitet HaReisah V'Reisah L'Hashem HaMelucha.